Go ahead.
Thanks. So I'm going to talk about prospects for FELs using a cascade of harmonic generation stages. And first I'll talk about generalities of harmonic generation, mention some planned facilities and design studies. I'll be pulling examples from some of these studies in the rest of the talk. Talk about fundamental noise issues and challenges, in particular phase errors and errors related to energy variations, and also a little bit about simulation noise. Then I'll talk about strategies to deal with these challenges, and if I have a chance, I'll talk about HHG sources, SEs for FELs, before going on to conclusions and the outlook for the future. First, I'd like to mention the many people I've worked with on collaborations and who have helped me learn about FELs and progress this work. First of all, at LBL, Bill Foley, Sasha Scholens, and Jonathan Wertley. And recently, I've been working on the Fermi and Electra collaboration for the technical optimization study. And there are many people, too many to mention really, there who I've worked with. And I'd like to mention Sven Riesch, who has helped me with his Genesis simulation program, which I've used for most of the results I'll be showing. You've already heard about the Fermi at Electra project. I'll just summarize by saying that there are two beamlines that are being considered. FEL1 has one harmonic stage with output ranging from 100 to 40 nanometers. And FEL2 will have two harmonic stages with output ranging from 40 nanometers to 10 nanometers. And there are two different options for FEL2. One is to use a fresh bunch to carry from one harmonic stage to the other, and the other is a whole bunch scheme, and I'll briefly describe what the difference is between them. In the fresh bunch, you have two distinct stages of harmonic generation. The first one uses a standard modulator followed by a radiator, and then the laser radiation that comes out is moved, advanced towards the front of the bunch where it overlaps previously unmodulated section of the beam, and that starts a completely new second stage that works in exactly the same way. The whole bunch scheme is different. There, the same electrons are interacting with a radiation field through both harmonic stages, and so there's no long delay section, and there's just an ordinary slippage. There are also planned, or at least studied, examples of multi-stage cascades that use more than two stages of generation. BESI, you've already heard about. They're considering up to four harmonic stages with wavelengths going down to as low as almost a nanometer. And the Lux design study at LBNL had a similar goal of using four harmonic stages to cover the range from 40 nanometers down to 1 nanometer. The parameters are slightly different, and I'm going to show a few examples from that design study. First, I'm going to back up a little and just use a toy model for the harmonic generation process to discuss some of the issues that come up and hopefully clarify them. Here I'm modeling a beam with an energy spread as several distinct mono-energetic beams that are overlapping each other. And getting that one. So this is the original beam, and then after a stage of modulation and going through a dispersive chicane to bunch the beam, we have a rectangular peak in current. And this will then go into a radiator, and it could radiate at the fundamental or at a higher harmonic if the width of this micro bunch is thin enough to have high harmonic content. So the first thing you notice is that different energy levels form bunches at different phases, and this is just conservation of phase space. You can't have them overlapping each other. But there are several more subtle consequences of this. First is that the harmonic generation process is sensitive to the energy spread. If you have more energy spread, the width of this high current microbunch is increased and the contrast is decreased, so you don't get as much signal out. In particular, at higher harmonics, it gets washed out very quickly. You have to go to a higher modulation in energy or find a way to reduce the energy spread. The second issue is that if the average energy of the beam is shifted, the center of this microbunch is also shifted. So here, the dark blue curve is the average energy, and it's centered at phase equals zero. And if some other section of the electron bunch was also modulated by this seed, if it had a higher energy, it would be shifted forward in phase. If it had a lower energy, it would be shifted backwards. And if the energy, let's say, oscillates or varies across the bunch, the phase of each microbunch will vary and you lose longitudinal coherence. Finally, this is close to what you would do in a numerical simulation, except, of course, each monoenergetic beam would be cut up and you'd only measure a few distinct phases for each energy. But you have a problem now where you have a density spike for each energy that's being modeled. Normally, the way you correct for macroparticle noise in a simulation is you would sample, very carefully choose which phases for each energy you include in the simulation, and that way you can zero out harmonic content, or you can set it to the expected shot noise levels, but you're not subject to macroparticle noise. But here, almost half of the phases for any one energy are lining up at one phase. So that trick doesn't work anymore, and now you have a density spike here, and another one here, and another one here, and so on. So first of all, this means that at low harmonics, after you've gone through this process, you're now sensitive to just the number of energies that you're sampling in your simulation and how they're distributed. And at very high harmonics, it's even worse because as the wavelength goes down, you can resolve the gap in between these monoenergetic beamlets. And at that point, your Fourier content becomes almost meaningless compared to what you're trying to model, which is a fairly smooth rectangular distribution of charge. I'll show, if I have time, an example of that later. But at this point, no one's really come up with a robust way to counter this effect. And if the energy spread is strong, or if the performance of the undulator is weak, then it's hard to get good numerical convergence. It takes a lot of work. And here I just have a very simple approximation for the particle noise that you get. It's proportional to the harmonic number and the energy spread, and it goes like 1 over the number of energies that you're sampling. So now I'd like to go back to the second point, which is the relation between energy and phase. So here I'm taking a similar simple model, and I'm modeling more periods instead of just 2 pi. There are about 10 periods or 8 periods. And the red curve is a monoenergetic beam that's subject to a laser seed with a frequency chirp. And I've exaggerated it, so I hope you can see that the frequency, the wavelength is shorter here and grows to the right. And as a consequence, the microbunches are closer together to the left and further apart to the right. Now, the green curve corresponds to a beam with a parabolic energy chirp, and the laser seed is just uniform in frequency. And you can see that you have a very similar distribution where the left-hand side, because the energy is decreasing and is going through a dispersive chicane, it's actually compressing and the microbunches are getting closer together. And on the right side, the beam is stretching, microbunches are getting further apart, and you can see they line up almost exactly. So energy variation acts like you have a phase error or a frequency variation in the seed. Oh, let me just add that you could try and use this to cancel a parabolic energy chirp by using a frequency chirp in the C laser, but more rapid variations would be hard to cancel, and at the extreme, they won't just give you phase offsets, but you'll also get power fluctuations. But at the very very small scale, the effect gets smoothed out because of slippage. And here's a more concrete example from the Fermi et Electra optimization study. So initial studies from the LINAC group yielded an energy profile with a parabolic variation in the energy with time. And although the output power profile looks reasonable, again, this is simulated using Genesis for FEL2 at 10 nanometers. If you look at phase, there's a parabolic curvature. It's modulus 2 pi, so it's a little hard to see, but it continues down like that. And the net effect, this curvature mirrors the energy curvature, and the net effect is this red spectrum that's broad, has some extra features there, and it's not optimal performance. It's certainly not transform limited. And if you perform the same simulation with an appropriately chosen chirp in the seed laser, you get the green spectrum, which is much more peaked, and it has a few sidebands, but they're very, very small. And this demonstrates the importance of having a flat electron beam profile. The energy, it's especially important for that to be flat, but also other properties such as the energy spread and position offsets, you want as flat as possible to avoid phase errors and power oscillations. So now I'm going to talk about challenges for harmonic FELs, especially multi-stage FELs, and loosely speaking, these break up into two categories. First of all, we're pursuing very short wavelengths, so that makes it difficult to get good FEL performance unless the energy spread is small. And typically, at the shortest wavelengths, the FEL parameter becomes small. It's hard to keep that to be a large number, so that makes the FEL more challenging. And in particular, that constrains the energy jitter, because if the relative energy offset is larger than the FEL parameter, you get very poor performance. Also, if you're trying to keep your beam energy to a moderately low level, it's challenging just to design an undulator that preserves the resonance condition. One way around this would be to try and modify an undulator to suppress the fundamental and try and extract just a harmonic. So if you're shooting for 1 nanometer, you could design an undulator for 3 nanometers and try and suppress the fundamental and only get the harmonic out. But this itself is a challenge and something that, if you want to carry this to extremes, either pushes you to high energy or pushes you to designing new types of undulators. The second concern is that, given conventional laser seeds, we have to jump by a high harmonic number. If you try and do it all at once, it becomes almost impossible, again, because you require a small energy spread, smaller than is practical. You can break it up into many harmonic stages, each one with a moderate harmonic jump, but this yields a complicated design. It's difficult to commission. And another problem that isn't cured by switching to multiple stages is that the phase noise gets amplified in each stage as you go up in harmonic numbers. And since phase noise is related to energy variations, you also get more sensitive to energy chirps. And finally, numerical simulations get more challenging. You have to be more careful, and they become more intensive to get an accurate result out. So to illustrate what happens at short wavelengths, I have two examples from the Lux design study. This is for a 3GeV beam in a cascade going from 200 to 50, eventually down to 1 nanometer. And if there's too little energy modulation, you don't bunch enough. But if there's too much, then the microbunch that you make basically rips itself apart, and it debunches before you can get any gain out. So you can see here, this is a parameter study where I'm increasing the energy spread in the beam, and you can see that the 1 nanometer case is much more sensitive than the 50 nanometer case in terms of what energy spreads are permissible. And in here, I'm doing a parameter scan on the energy modulation, re-optimizing the R56 or the strength of the dispersive chicane each time. And you could see that at 50 nanometer, it even for a very large energy modulation, it hasn't turned over. And for 1 nanometer, there's an optimum around 1.5 MeV, and then you actually get worse performance. And the two constraints that basically squeeze your range of acceptable energy modulations is, first of all, you can't debunch faster than the gain length, or else you lose trapping in the ponderomotive well. And the condition for this is that the relative energy modulation has to be is bounded from above, there's this factor of 16, by the ratio of the undulator period to the gain length, which is the same thing as the FEL parameter rho. The energy modulation is bounded from below by the harmonic number times the energy spread. Here I took harmonic number minus 1 because this isn't really true if you're staying at the fundamental. It's only for jumping to harmonics that that constraint applies. So you can relieve this problem somewhat by breaking up your harmonic generation into multiple stages, so you reduce this n parameter. But other than that, there's not much that you can do. You can also keep the energy spread from growing from stage to stage by using the fresh bunch approach. That basically carries you over to a portion of the electron beam that hasn't been involved in the FEL interaction, or at least the seeded FEL interaction. And that brings you back down to the original energy spread. And for high harmonics, here's just another simplified example to show what happens at large harmonic multiples. There's a red curve, which is a spectrum from an ideal Gaussian pulse. And then the green curve, which is almost overlapping it, is the same pulse, but now I've introduced a slow oscillating phase error of plus or minus 0.2 radians. And you can see the only noticeable effect is there are these small sidebands at the 1% level. But if you take that same pulse and upconvert it to the 24th harmonic, you get the blue spectrum, which is an enormous degradation. The central frequency isn't even the peak. And there are additional sidebands far away from the only sideband here that was even visible before. And you've already seen the condition that the noise power, the signal-to-noise ratio degrades as the square of the harmonic number, and that's the total harmonic from the original seed. It doesn't revert from each stage of harmonic generation. Now I'd like to talk about strategies to compensate for some of these effects, or at least make up for them. First of all, the sensitivity to energy jitter. So if the energy fluctuates by more than the FEL parameter, then you have large fluctuations in the output power, because that's the typical sensitivity of an FEL to energy. But there are many strategies to compensate for this. Basically, you pull back from optimizing the coupling, and you vary either the undulator parameter, or you introduce phase shifts, or even a pseudorandom variation in the undulator strength to blur the resonance condition. And this gives you a smoother dependence on energy, but the price you pay for that is you don't get as much output power for the same length of undulator. But it's not the same thing as changing the FEL parameter, because you have worse coupling, but you're actually less sensitive to energy jitter. And here are some examples altering the phase shifts between undulator sections. And the original pulse is in red, and you can either optimize for maximum power, which actually in this case gives you a little bit of improvement in sensitivity too, but you can actually reduce the dependence on energy by a factor of 2 or so if you're willing to lose some of your output power. And here's an extreme example, courtesy of Giovanni Danino and Enrico Ilaria from the Electra study, where a more or less pseudo-random tapering of the undulator sections reduces the power by a factor of 30, but you're very flat in terms of your output power as a function of input beam energy. And since energy fluctuations is one of the more difficult things to keep down to a low level, this is an important consideration to think about. Now, the fresh bunch configuration allows you to, after one stage of harmonic generation where the energy spread has been increased by the energy modulation, allows you to move to a separate section where the energy spread is close to the original value, and that allows you to, in principle, continue time after time down multiple stages of harmonic generation, and you still have the original energy spread for each stage. However, there are some penalties for this. First of all, there's added complexity, and you're sensitive to timing jitter. And secondly, you're chopping the beam up into small sections, and any one stage, you're restricting to only seeding that one section. So you're shrinking the available pulse length that you can input and get out. So one thing you can do to reduce the number of times that you resort to this fresh bunch approach is you could try a very large harmonic jump at the first stage, where things presumably are easiest to do and you're not so sensitive to energy spread. And you can save for the last few stages maybe just harmonic jumps of two or three, so you're not stressing the system that way. Another thing you can do is switch back and forth between the fresh bunch transition between harmonic stages and the whole bunch transition. And I'm going to show another example taken from the Lux design study. So this is a 2GeV beam going in three stages from 200 nanometer down to 2.5 nanometers. And here's the original design. And there are two fresh bunch delays in between each stage of harmonic generation. And this slices the beam into thirds. Instead, what you could do is, this is a 36 meter long FEL. And here you can add 6 meters of undulator and convert the first transition from stage one to stage two into a whole bunch configuration. You can see now this is the modulator section, the flat part. And here there is no modulator because this is using the whole bunch configuration and you're taking the beam directly into the next stage. In this case, you get almost the same output power, 31 megawatts versus 34 megawatts originally, but now you're only having to slice the beam in half instead of into thirds. And this can either allow you to use a longer seated pulse length, or it relaxes your synchronization requirements. And now I see I have a little bit of time left, so I'll mention something about HHG seated FELs. You've already heard a lot about the promise of HHG sources, but this allows you to shorten the harmonic cascade by starting immediately at a shorter wavelength compared to what you can get from conventional lasers. And typically, although this is changing rapidly, the peak power is fairly low compared to what you can produce with a laser. But this isn't much of a problem because you can amplify the signal in an optical klystron configuration. And since you're not jumping up in a harmonic, this actually works very well. But there isn't much information on the longitudinal coherence of these sources. And as we've already seen, the demands for coherence goes far beyond saying that the seed is transform limited. We want the seed to be better than transform limited, as far as that makes any sense. So here's an example with a 30 nanometer HHG seed with a peak power of 100 kilowatts. And the first two undulators serve as an optical klystron to give you much stronger modulation at the end than you would get if you just used a modulator with no bunching chicane. And then you go into a final radiator that radiates at the eighth harmonic for about 3.8 nanometers. And at the end, you can get 300 megawatts out. So I'm going to now consider what happens when you introduce phase noise. Here I'm ignoring the small-scale structure that you saw earlier with the HHG sources, and I'm just considering the smoothed-out variation in power and phase. So the red curve here is an ideal seed, and the green curve is a very noisy HHG source. And by very noisy, I mean that the output, here are various examples of the same typical noise levels, but with different random number seeds. You can see the spectrum is very noisy, and also the power profile is noisy. If you consider the same example using a conventional laser going in a two-stage harmonic cascade, you can see that you produce variation in the spectrum for much shorter, for much smaller noise levels, but the power profile is actually very smooth. It's not fluctuating as much. So if you only care about timing and power profile, you can relax the constraint somewhat. I'll skip over this. I'm running a little low on time. This is a concrete example showing that for large energy spread, you have a very big problem with convergence of the numerical simulations. And in conclusion, I'd like to say that the good news, one thing I haven't mentioned, is that the technology for undulators seems more than adequate, if you put the work into it, to fit the needs of these harmonic cascades, both in terms of defining accurately the undulator parameter and avoiding phase offsets. These harmonic generation FELs can be shorter than SASE, basically by definition, since you're competing with SASE growth that's unseeded, so it has to be shorter. And you get distinct benefits such as synchronization and clean spectrum, but it's more complex. And finally, developments in HHG seeds may simplify future seeded FELs greatly. The bad news is that you're extremely sensitive not just to phase offsets, but also to energy deviations, which are difficult to control in an electron beam, especially when you're trying to produce high current. So this means you're sensitive both to energy jitter and also energy chirp within one pulse. And the output fluctuations, especially in terms of power, may always be large, at least from the point of view of some experiments. We've been talking about getting fluctuations down to a 10% level versus 100% for SASE or for cases where you have very uncontrolled energy jitter. But some experiments, even 10% is way too large, and a 1% level at this point seems unrealistic. Looking ahead, laser seeds and alternatives to laser seeds need closer scrutiny. And there are many facilities on the horizon that are going to present opportunities for exciting research and also opportunities to study some of these issues to get ready for the next generation of FELs. And we can look for improvements on many fronts because there's no one barrier to using a cascaded FEL. So anything from electron sources to the undulator design to the optics may enable new types of facilities and new types of experiments to be done on them. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for this pretty clear overview of what's possible with harmonics. The session is open for questions. Must have been very clear.
Okay.
Then I would like to thank the speaker again. Thank you.